So grateful that we can gather together like this in this beautiful country of ours to praise you in such freedom, to worship you, Lord, to glorify you. We say, Holy Spirit, have your way in our midst this morning. And Father, I thank you that even as your word goes out, that it does not return void, but your word accomplishes all that you have for it to accomplish. That in terms of everything that is said, everything that is done, that the name of Jesus is exalted and glorified in this place this morning. And we give you, Lord, all the praise and the honor and the glory. Amen. 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 Is this really on? Okay. All right. So, folks, like most Sundays, I have a very important message for us today. I really have. This is a very important message. So I'm going to tell you what the title of this message is. And, okay, here it is. Has God made his power available to me? First thing, it is a question. Has God made his power available to me? And it's personal because it is about us and our relationship with the Lord. So, in fact, ask the person next to you, has God made his power available to you? Look at them in the eye and make sure that the answer is yes. Right. So, folks, you know, we often fail to see the love that God has actually poured out upon us, the love that he's poured out upon his children. And his power is made available to us through prayer. Why am I not hearing myself this morning? But I suppose as long as you're hearing me, that's okay. Is that all right? Okay. Folks, his power is made available to us through prayer. And that is what I want to speak about this morning. I want to speak about prayer, but I want to speak about prayer from a very, very different perspective. And hopefully that we're going to be able to find some nuggets in this message that I'm sharing here this morning that we are going to be able to use in terms of our own prayer lives. So, you know, this thing of prayer, this is one way that God actually demonstrates his amazing love towards us. So, we would have so much, well, let me say it like this, such an effective prayer life if we fully understood how God has ordained prayer to work. And I think we need to maybe take a step back and get an understanding the best that we can how God has ordained prayer to actually work in our life. So today, like I said, we're going to talk about prayer, but I'm going to give us just a perspective of using a story that we find in the Bible that we can learn a lot from. And so we're going to be focusing on Daniel here this morning. Now, Daniel had a very, very powerful prayer life. Daniel had a very effective prayer life. So let us now have a look at some of the principles, because it's interesting. When we go through the book of Daniel, there are principles that Daniel embraced to ensure that he not only had a deep relationship with the Lord, but that, you know, he knew that when he prayed that God would respond to his prayers. So let's have a look at this here this morning, because we too, I really believe it, can experience a powerful prayer life. We can experience a very, very effective prayer life if we embrace God's principles in terms of prayer. Amen. Amen. So if you got your Bibles, and I'm sure we all got Bibles here today. If you haven't, you can read on the screen over here. If you have, make sure that you got a pen that you can write in your Bible. And if you can't write in your Bible, get rid of that Bible and get a good Bible that you can write in. Okay. Sometimes these gold leaf Bibles are a bit of a hindrance to us. You know that? Because we don't want to write in them. Our Bible should be something that we use, that we refer to, that we make notes in, and so on. So I'm going to be reading from Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. It says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belshazzar. And the word was true, and it was a great conflict. And he understood the word and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. How long?
3 weeks.
This is important. 3 weeks, 21 days. He says, I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. The next few verses, verses 4 to verse 9, it actually talks about the vision that Daniel sees and how it impacts on him and how, you know, it kind of affects him. Let's pick it up in verse 10. It says, and behold, a hand touched me. Now, this is an angel touching Daniel. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. Do you get a picture of his posture there? He's on his hands. He's on his knees, trembling. And he, this is the angel, said to me, oh, Daniel, man greatly loved. Some translations say man greatly loved of God. So Daniel was really loved of God. He said, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up, trembling. So he was still trembling, but at least he was vertical. Then the angel said to me, fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard. And I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But Michael, remember we spoke about Michael a couple of weeks ago? Michael is one of the archangels. He says, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia, and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is for the days to come. In other words, this vision that Daniel had was not for them, for that time, it was for the future. In actual fact, it's for the times that, you know, that we are living in right now. So folks, Daniel's prayer had a powerful effect. And if Daniel's prayer is powerful, there is no reason why your prayer and my prayer shouldn't be powerful. His prayer actually put into action angels from heaven, engaging in a spiritual battle. There was a spiritual battle that took place because of Daniel's prayer. And I want to say that if that is for Daniel, it is exactly the same for you and I. So here's a couple of questions for us. What if God showed his love to us by making his power available to us? Imagine that, if God did that. What if us praying could make a difference and change the way that things would turn out? In other words, when we prayed for something, something would happen and there would be a change that would take place. If these two things are possible, if they really are possible, can you imagine how effective the church of the Lord Jesus Christ would be? Could you imagine the number of people who could be swept into the kingdom receiving salvation? Could you imagine, too, what a powerful witness we would have as believers to this lost and dying world out there, unsaved people? People are destined to spend eternity in a real place called hell. So this really would be available to us if we were able to somehow pray like Daniel prayed, because this is what happened with Daniel. Folks, the truth is that this power is available to you. That this power is available to me. It's available to us, right? God has actually ordained that our prayers, when we spend time and we pray in a way that he has called us to pray, if we do it like that, that it can release and will release his power in your life and my life. You believe that, folks? Really? Okay? So we can pray, and as you and I start to pray, God will actually unleash his power. God will make his power available to you, and he will make his power available to me. So he's actually given us the ability to be able to pray so that you and I can change situations. That's one of the reasons why we pray. How often have you prayed for somebody that's ill where the objective is that God intervenes, that that person will become well, where there's a situation change? Is that right? How often do you pray for somebody that might be struggling financially, where the objective is when we pray for that person that there's a supernatural intervention from God and there's a turnaround in that person's finances? That when we pray, things happen, things change. So let us now have a look and see what we can actually learn from Daniel's prayer life. Like I said, you know, I mean, we've all heard messages on prayer, but I want to give us just some pointers about Daniel here today. And we know that he had an incredible relationship with God. Remember when he was thrown into the lion's den? You know, God just shut up the lion's mouths. Is that right? I mean, this is just absolutely amazing. So let's see what we can actually learn from Daniel's prayer life, because I believe that this will help us, all of us, to be able to lead a more effective prayer life. And we need to, folks, we need to be those who have effective prayer lives. So the first thing that we can see with regards to Daniel is that Daniel desired wisdom. He desired wisdom. Daniel wanted wisdom. We see, and I'm going to read now from the message. This is Daniel 10, verse 12. It says, the angel says, "Relax, Daniel," he continued. "Don't be afraid, for the moment you decided to humble yourself to receive wisdom, your prayer was heard. Your prayer was heard. And I set out to come to you." So get the picture there. The moment that Daniel started to pray, first of all, he humbled himself. But at that point, as he started to pray, his prayer was heard right then. And Daniel wanted to know the things of God. Is that right? He wanted to know those things. Daniel wanted to have that wisdom. He desired it. And folks, the problem is, and I'm talking to Christians, you know, kind of worldwide now. The problem is that many of us want wisdom. We really want wisdom because we as believers, we know how important it is to have wisdom. But we want this wisdom from God, but we don't want to apply God's principles in terms of how we get wisdom. We just want wisdom, you know, godly wisdom. We want God to somehow supernaturally impart wisdom into us just because we are believers. And this is not how God has chosen to impart wisdom to you and to me either. There's a way of getting wisdom, and I want to look at it right now as well. Well, maybe I should start with a question. So how did Daniel seek God to be able to get wisdom? I'm so pleased you asked that question. All right? How did it? Okay. How did Daniel seek God, you know, for God's wisdom? Now, if you go back a couple of, well, just one chapter, in chapter 9, verse 2, it says, "The first year of his reign," this is the king, "I, Daniel, perceived in the books." Let me say that again. "I perceived in the books." Daniel was busy in the word of God. "I perceived in the books the number of years that according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah," so there he was. He was going into the book of Jeremiah and he was studying the word of God. He was meditating on the word of God. He was learning. He wanted to know what had been said. "According to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet must pass before the end of desolations of Jerusalem," namely, it says 70 years. But the fact is that he desired wisdom, and where did he go to get this wisdom? Into the word. Now, we need to challenge ourselves. Are we, as believers, spending time in the word of God? Okay. Like I said, we all want, you know, signs and wonders and supernatural things happening around us, and that when we pray, that there's an impartation of God's power into situations. But many of us, folks, are not applying God's principles in terms of how to do this. So, question, how is it now then that Daniel understood these things? And really the answer is, he understood it by the books, by the scriptures, by getting into the prophets, the Jeremiah, into the book, right? Into the word of God. And we can see here that he studied the scriptures, and he, Daniel, was a man of the word. And this is one of the things I really believe that the Lord is speaking to us about today. We need to be those people, folks. We need to also seek God's wisdom, how? Through God's word. That's how we do it. And for that to happen, you know, for us to get into the word of God, we need to make sure that we, first of all, have a reverence for the author of the word of God. Is that true? Because if we don't have a reverence for God, and there are many Christians like that, folks. You know, it's, yeah, I'm a believer. Never spending time in the word of God. Just, you know, coasting through life, you know, que sera, sera, right? What will be, will be. That's really what will happen. So for this to happen, first of all, we have to have a reverence for the author of the word of God. And who is the author of the word of God? God himself. Is that true? Right? So we need to have a reverence for God. And not only that, we need to have a fear of the Lord. Now, when the Bible speaks about the fear of the Lord, it doesn't mean that we just tremble and we cower down and we take a step back. The fear of the Lord, we have a reverential fear of God. In other words, we hold God in high esteem. That's what the fear of the Lord is, this reverential fear of God. Now, it's interesting that in Job, let me read it, Job 28:28, it says, behold, we're talking about the fear of the Lord now. Behold, the fear of the Lord, or the reverential fear of God, that is wisdom. That is wisdom. That if you've got a fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to turn away from evil is understanding. And it's very interesting. So often when you see in the Word of God, you see wisdom, you'll see linked to wisdom as understanding. They seem to go hand in hand. Wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and understanding. So we need to make sure that we have this reverence for God. And also that we turn away from evil, because turning away from evil is really, you know, we've got it. We now have an understanding. We see the same similar thing in Psalm 111, verse 10, where it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This, again, the fear of the Lord, having a, you know, exalting God and seeing God as for who he really is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. There you see it again. Wisdom and understanding going hand in hand. And folks, we need to desire wisdom, and we need to desire understanding as well. So the question then is, what about those people, and let's say, what about those Christian people who don't seek wisdom? What about Christians who do not have a reverential fear of God, of the Lord? Does the Bible say anything about believers like that? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. The Bible does speak about believers like this. Let me read it to you. In Proverbs 1:28, it says, then they will call on me. This is God speaking. It says, and then they, believers, you know, it's only believers that are going to call on God. Is that right? Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. So here are Christians calling on the Lord, okay? They are seeking him diligently, but the Lord says, but they will not find me. Why? It tells us in verse 29, because they hated the knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Now, it's hard to believe that there are believers like that, but there are. Amen. So, folks, as a result of that, God did not respond to them. He didn't respond to them because they did not want wisdom. They didn't desire wisdom. In other words, they didn't respect God the way they should. And the result is that their prayers were never answered. How many, you know, I mean, we have to look at ourselves, folks, and say, hey, you know, does this apply to me? And if it does, I really believe we need to make some adjustments in our own lives. It's okay, don't shoot the messenger here today. I can see how you're checking me out, eh? I'm just telling you what the Word says. What the Word says. So, question then is, are our prayers being, how do I say it? Are our prayers going unanswered? In other words, our prayers are not being answered. Is this happening in our own lives? Are we truly seeking God for wisdom? Do we have a healthy fear, a healthy reverential fear of the Lord? Or are we those who are really content just to have the wisdom of man? Let's be honest with ourselves in terms of our walk with the Lord. A powerful prayer life begins with wanting and desiring the wisdom from God. Is that okay? Tell the person next to you. I can't hear anyone talking. Right? A powerful prayer life begins with wanting the wisdom of the Lord. So, folks, we go after it by, how do we do it? By spending time in the Word. And again, this is, you know, we have to look at ourselves and say, how is my walk with the Lord? And how much time am I really spending with Him in His Word? Let's just be honest with ourselves. So that was the first thing with Daniel. The next thing, in terms of, you know, having a look at this portion of Scripture, for our prayers to really be powerful, for our prayers to be effective, we need to humble our hearts. Now, let me say up front, don't ask Jesus to humble you. Oh, Lord Jesus, Lord, what? Just humble me. Unscriptural. Wherever you see it in the Word of God, it says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And when we choose to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, it says then He will lift us up. He will elevate us. Is that true? So, folks, we need to walk in this humility. Now, so we need to humble our own hearts. Daniel 10:12, then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself, you can see Daniel humbled himself and humbled yourself before your God. So Daniel humbled his heart before the Lord. And we can see again the incredible relationship that, you know, he had with our Creator. And we also see, I don't know if you noticed, that we see Daniel fasting certain things. Is that true? That he starts to fast. So, folks, it is through prayer and through fasting he acknowledges that God is the one who is in control. So he's praying and he's fasting. And why do we fast? Why did Daniel fast? We fast to put the flesh down. To put the flesh down. That's why we fast. Because we don't want to be distracted by the things in this world. So when we fast, we're actually putting the flesh down. And folks, also this thing on humility. Humility is not a once-off thing that we do to gain the favor of God. It's not a once-off. Daniel lived a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of one who is humble. And if you're not sure about that, go and read the book of Daniel and you'll see, you know, the humility and the way he conducted himself, you know, right throughout, you know, the communication that we see about Daniel. And finally, if we want power, this power that God has for us, and we want an effective prayer life, okay, we need to pray persistently. Persistent prayer. So often, folks, let's be honest, and if I blush because I'm talking to me. But so often, we pray, you know, we kind of lob up a prayer, and then, God, you didn't answer that prayer. And we might, you know, lob up another prayer a day or two later, and God hasn't answered. And then we get bent out of shape. And you know what? We start to blame God. God, you know, He hasn't answered my prayers. But folks, we need to be those who pray persistently. Daniel prayed persistently. And the response of the angel really implies that he was a persistent prayer. Is that true? Let me read it, verse 12. Then he said to me, the angel said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your word. So get the picture there that when we start to pray the way the Lord wants us to pray, God hears our prayers and, he sends an angel. You know, there's something happens in the spiritual realm. So this angel, we see right here that he came in response to Daniel's words. He came in response to Daniel's prayers. Is that true?
Yes.
Yay. Thanks, guys. How long was Daniel praying for? Listen here. Verse 3 tells us. He didn't just pray on day 1 and then day 2 and then day 5 and he said, you know what? I've had enough. Verse 3, it says, I ate no delicacies, so we can see that he was fasting. No meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. How many of us, folks, are committed? You know, we are so committed, we want an answer from God, and we're just going to stand on it until, you know, God responds. And not just saying that we do it the way he's called us to do it as well, correctly as well. So fasting and praying, isn't it interesting? They go hand in hand. How many of us know that? Fasting and praying. You can't fast without praying. In fact, you can fast without praying. In other words, you just fast, you don't eat. But the word for that is called dieting. Okay? God hasn't called us to a diet. He's called us to fast. And that means that we don't eat, or however we do it, but making sure that we are those that are praying as well. So Daniel was fasting, and he was praying for how long? 3 weeks, 21 days. So he was praying for the 3 weeks. And from the first day, this is interesting. This is we can see what happens in the spiritual realm. From the first day, Daniel's words were heard. The angel was coming. It's coming from the first day. And yet the angel didn't arrive to answer Daniel's prayers for how long?
3 weeks.
What's the problem here? Now verse 13 tells us in chapter 10 that the angel was being opposed during that time. So get the picture. Daniel prays. The angel, you know, God hears it. God dispatches an angel immediately. But there's no answer for 3 weeks. Folks, this insight that I'm sharing with us here is really to encourage us to continue praying. Don't stop praying. Just keep on praying. Carry on praying. Because there are times I know that we pray and it might be for a loved one that has not received salvation and we reach a point where we just feel like giving up. Is that right? This is here to encourage us not to stop. Let's just keep on going. Verse 13 says, and the prince of the kingdom of Persia. So what is happening here? Now, let me read it first. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me, the angel said, 21 days. So this angel, okay, has been dispatched on day one and can't get through because the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood him 21 days. There was something happening in the spiritual realm. Satan did not want this prayer to be answered. And it goes on to say, but Michael, there he is, that archangel, the one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia. Now, folks, this portion of scripture, it is so interesting because it's like opening up curtains. You can open up and it's giving us a glimpse of what is actually happening in the spiritual realm. It's giving us an understanding right here because this angel was hindered in coming by the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now, get the picture that over certain areas, there are demonic kingdoms that are over these places. In the spiritual realm, not in the physical, in the spiritual realm. So this angel, you know, was hindered in coming. Why? Because of the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Looking through and looking into the spiritual realm, there was demonic activity that was stopping this angel from actually coming through. And these princes that it talks about here are basically fallen angels. trying to stop the prayers that people are praying. We need to be persistent. Trying to stop the prayers from being answered. And for Daniel's prayer to be answered, there was a spiritual battle that took place in the heavenlies. Get the picture. Look through these little curtains. A battle that was taking place right there. And God tells us that you and I are in a spiritual battle right now. Do you believe it? Folks, you know, it's wonderful when somebody comes into the church, they put up their hand, and they receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Isn't that exciting? But some things happen. When that person, you know, confesses and, you know, making Jesus Lord and Savior, they become a Christian at that point. And the Bible says that God by His Spirit comes and dwells on the inside of them. Is that true? Now they've got God the Holy Spirit living on them. And the Bible also says that when that person gives their life to the Lord, there is a celebration that takes place in the heavenlies. We know that. But there's something else that happens. You become part of the army of God. You and I become part of the army of God when we get born again. And folks, if you and I are in an army, that means that there are going to be some battles. And if there are going to be some battles, you and I had better know how to fight these battles, remembering that these are spiritual battles. These are not physical battles that we're talking about right here. Now, God also tells us that the weapons that we fight with in the spiritual realm have divine power. They have divine power. When we engage in any form of warfare, we are not using guns, we are not using knives, we are not using bazookas, we're not using AK-47s, we are not using rockets, we're not using any of these things. We are using spiritual weapons that the Lord has given to you and I to use. And the Lord, the Bible tells us that these spiritual weapons have divine power. I want to read 2 Corinthians 10:3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh," how many of you have noticed that you are here in the flesh? Huh? Prod the person next to you and say, "I'll see you in the flesh." Okay. Basically, that acknowledges the fact that you are not sitting next to a spirit being. Is that correct? Okay. So we are here. He says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war." Remember, we are in a battle. We are not waging war according to the flesh. "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh," "but have divine power to destroy strongholds." What are strongholds? These are the things that we've just read about. These are strongholds over different areas, right, where there are principalities in high places where you know, they're influencing what is happening on planet Earth, demonic forces in the heavenlies. Let me start again. "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy those strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." So one of the ways that the evil one will attack us is through our thinking. Folks, when we start to meditate on things that do not line up with the Word of God, we need to take those thoughts captive, take them captive, right, to the obedience of Christ. This is what he's telling us to do. So you and I wage war with divine power. We have the weapons. We have the weapons. And that, folks, is how God has ordained it to be. Now, it's also interesting because Paul, the apostle, he speaks about this as well. And we see this in Ephesians 6, verse 12. It says, Paul says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." We are not fighting against people. That horrible person in your office, the one that offends you all the time, that person. Folks, we're not fighting that. We are fighting the spirit behind that. That's what we're doing. He says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." We do not wrestle against people. but against, he tells us who we're fighting, against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. And we need to have an understanding of this. We need to have a real good understanding of this. So we wage spiritual battles through our prayers. I want to ask us a few questions here. Do angels commissioned by God respond to our prayers to wage this warfare? Do they? Okay. Another question, if we pray persistently, like Daniel, does it assist the angels in overcoming Satan and the demons in the heavenly realm? Another question, does our continued prayer have anything to do with the angels bringing answers to prayer? Folks, I'd like us to go home and meditate on these scriptures. Go home and read, you know, in your own time what I've been sharing here today. Read these scriptures. And I want you to come up with your own conclusion about the answers to those questions that I've just asked. Right? Because if you take a little bit of time, you can go and this message will be on our website by this evening, I'm sure. But if you take time and go through all of this and asking those questions, your conclusion will definitely motivate you to want to pray more. You're going to want to pray more. Because when we have a full understanding of this, when we have a revelation of what, you know, what I'm sharing here this morning, I'm telling you, we're going to pray more and we're going to start to see incredible breakthrough in those areas where our prayers are targeted, where we pray, those people that we pray for. We're going to start to see the signs, the wonders, the miracles taking place because we are applying God's principles, especially when it comes to prayer. We are doing it His way. So our prayers will result in all kinds of warfare taking place in the spiritual realm. And there, something I need to say, that there needs to be a change in the spiritual realm before you will see a manifestation in the natural. Is that true? If I'm going to pray for Amanda over here, right, for whatever it is, okay, something happens in the spiritual, and then I start to see the change in whatever I've prayed for him. So we need to know this. So when we pray, there has to be a shifting that takes place in the spiritual realm, and once we see that shifting take place in the spiritual realm, you will see the manifestation of that in the natural. So there needs to be a change in the spiritual realm. And how do we change the spiritual realm? Prayer. Prayer. That's what we do. So our persistent prayer, and it needs to be persistent prayer as well. As I say, Daniel has given us a very, very good example and like a bit of insight into seeing what's actually happening out there. So folks, we need to ask ourselves a few questions. Okay, am I desiring wisdom the way Daniel desired wisdom? Am I? Have I humbled my heart before the Lord like Daniel humbled himself before the Lord, his heart? Okay. Am I walking in his ways like Daniel walked in his ways? Have I asked the Lord to forgive me all my sins so that I stand totally cleansed before him, that there's nothing that separates me from him? And if the answer is yes, 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 and yes to all of those, there's only one thing left to do. And that is to pray persistently. We pray persistently. God will hear our prayers. God will hear your prayers. He hears my prayers. And when we start to pray, He will unleash His power just like He did with Daniel. Daniel's, the Bible says, is no favorites. Huh? We His favorites. Like Daniel, right? So power to release His angels. Power to overcome evil forces that are happening, that are busy out there in the spiritual realm. Power to accomplish what in the natural could never be accomplished in the natural. all of these things. Folks, God in his sovereignty, and God because of his incredible love for each and every single one of us, has declared that your prayers and my prayers have power. He's declared it. We just need to apply his principles. So we need to desire wisdom from the Lord. We need to actually desire to, you know, to choose to humble ourselves before the Lord, like Daniel. Also to decide to repent of all our sins, and then also make a decision that we continue to pray persistently. And be an incredible, I want to say incredible, release of God's power is available to you and to me through prayer. So we need to unleash this power, his power, not your power, not my power. We unleash his power, and when we do it, our lives will change. We'll find that our church will change. Our community will change. We'll find that our city will change and our nation will change. Let us choose to become passionate about praying the way that God has told us to pray. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.